Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
Mrs. In-Flight
Entertainment. The movie with last in the title episode. Throwback, last space, all that stuff. What's up? How's everyone? Hope everyone's staying safe. And we are here to get you out of this disease-infested planet for a little bit and journey to another star system and so we can review what, Genoa?
We are jumping back in time to 1984, diving into the world of video games and space with the last Starfighter.
Ah, yes. Yeah, this is released July 13th, 1984. All right, now back in 84, in July to be exact. So we're watching, well, going from 5 to 1. Alex B. Keaton, Family Ties, number 5. 60 Minutes, number 4. 84. Okay, so Cosby's cracked the top 5 at number 3. Dallas is number 2. And Dynasty, number 1.
And I mean, it's the middle of the 80s. So, yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So, you want to crack at the song? This is 84.
Summer of 84.
And this particular...
was it a female artist?
No, it was a male. And he had...
Michael Jackson.
Nope, he had a movie out this year.
Footloose?
No, he's a musician. He's an artist. He's a musician. And he had a movie out.
I have no idea. Oh, Prince!
Yes, When Doves Cry. Yes, yes. Off of Purple Rain. Yes, I'm like he had a movie out. Yeah, and we were watching Last Starfighter that year.
Yeah, so video games were like Atari systems were making a big impact and lots of going to the arcade to play video games. So this movie was very relevant in the 80s. I know I used to run off to the gaming store, play the arcade down the street whenever I could. And I would spend hours playing Atari. So when this movie came out, The Last Starfighter, it big time appealed to me. It is about a video game expert, Alex Rogan, who finds himself transported to another planet after conquering the video game, The Last Starfighter, only to find out it was a test to find the best starfighters. And he was recruited to join a bunch of starfighters to defend the world from an attack.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the defending frontier from the Codan Armada. Yeah, and that's what it says every time you fire up the video game, you know, because every time you pop your quarter in and it said give you that introduction to like what's the objective before you take off and, you know, defend the frontier and stuff like that.
So, I mean, at the beginning of the movie, it's similar setup to all 80s movies. We meet all the characters, we meet Alex's community.
Yeah, which is a trailer park community.
Right. He lives in a trailer park in California somewhere. It sounds like it's outside of Los Angeles because they want to go to Silver Lake for something. But in the trailer park, we have Maggie, his girlfriend. We have Jane, his mom. He has a little brother, Lewis. Uh-huh. And then there's all the other different like trailer park characters.
Yeah, it's a little community.
Yeah. And as always with an 80s movie, you have he's like the high school kid that doesn't necessarily fit in with all the other high school kids because he's maybe a little bit poorer. And so he can't go off and do things with them because he has to help his mom with shit.
Yeah.
And when he's done doing his chores, he plays video games.
Yeah, that's pretty much all he can really do. Okay, and it's the hero's journey in this film has a stark parallel to Luke Skywalker's journey, right? So, you know, on Tatooine, you know, Luke was, he wanted to, like, leave, you know? But, you know, Uncle Owen told him, like, you know what? You know, stick around for the crops, you know, for next year. And, like, we need you here kind of thing. Alex Rogue, yeah, I think he was trying to go to a school or a university or something. Like, he was just trying to leave the
trailer park. He was a small town boy that had big world dreams and wanted to escape the small trailer park.
Right. But he got like a rejection letter or something, right? Then, like, he applied to go somewhere. So, like,
he applied for a loan to go somewhere,
right,
and didn't get approved for the loan. So he can't afford school. So now he has to find a backup plan.
Right. See, so now you kind of see how these two, like, soon to be heroes, you know, just like that longing for something better, for something greater, something bigger, something that's going to define them as a person. And, you know, Alex just buried his head in the Starfighter video game because he kind of takes his frustration out, like blow up some ships in the video game. And this is like one of the most funniest scenes, and I just get a kick out of it when, you know, Alex is on a roll with the game and he's like, and his brother Lewis look, you know, it's, oh, wow, you beating your high score. And it's like, oh, you're going for the record. And then and then yelling at everybody, hey, Alex is going for the record. Alex is going for the record. Alex is over it. And then like half of like the trailer park community is like going up the stairs to the place where Alex is playing the video game. And they just gather around him. And some of the old people is like, oh, Alex is going for the record. Okay. Is that a good thing? It was kind of like they don't know what's happening. They just know something good is like happening. Something is like awesome is on the line, and they're just cheering them on. They don't know what the hell they're cheering them out, but damn it, they're gonna cheer on Alex because he's gonna do something great in a form of a video game.
Well, I mean, that when I was a kid and I'd play Atari and I'd get super high scores, I'd run down the street and tell my dad, "I got this score," and he'd be like, "Great."
You want a ice cream? Like, what you want from me? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm busy. Go find something else to do.
But yeah, here's a quarter. Go play some more. Leave me alone. Yeah, and so Alex is chilling. He's off of his high. He have a glow. Have an afterglow, if you will, of beating the record. Like a futuristic kind of car pulls up, and it's like, hey, and a guy yells out the window, "Hey, I'm looking for Alex Rogan." And, you know, Alex is like, "You talking to him?" No, he was like, "I'm looking for the person who beat the record in that video game over there. What's his name?" And then Alex is like, "Yeah, it's me." He's like, "Oh, hey, how you doing? Like, I've been looking for you. Like, I have a business proposition." You know, and Alex like, okay, he gets in the car and they zoom off. But little do Alex know that he's in a spaceship.
Right. But the spaceship, because it's the 80s. And what's the car that everyone uses for space or time travel in the 80s? Like it's a DeLorean.
Yeah. But I like that. Like a really like stretched
DeLorean. Yeah, I mean, it isn't actually a DeLorean, but it is right, based on a DeLorean. So anyone that has seen Back to the Future would be like, okay, yep, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They were inspired by that.
Yeah. But Starfighter came out before Back to the Future, right?
I don't know.
Because Back to the Future was 85. Maybe
because Back to the Future was inspired by this.
Yeah, pretty much. Because Marty McFly was kind of he was trying to go back to 1985, right? And this came out in 84.
Well, let's see.
Yeah.
It was Back to the Future.
Yeah, it was 85.
I'm waiting. It was 85.
All right. Yeah, because I always remember Marty had to go back to 1985. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Maybe like Back to the Future scene. Well, the director seen last Starfire, like, oh, a silver kind of car that door flips open. Like, yes. Yeah, so Alex is in the car freaking out because he's in space going through, you know, these star systems. And Centauri, that's his name, Centauri, who's kind of like almost like a used car salesman slash gambler. You know, you have that attitude like, oh, kid, oh, so glad you're going to do great things. You're going to do great. Oh, you know, like, we've been looking for you. Yeah, you're going to be amazing. All that stuff.
And Centauri's played by Robert Preston, and he does a fantastic job in this movie.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, the casting in this film is like second to none. And so, before Alex left, Centauri left a beta unit to stay on Earth while Alex is gone. So pretty much a beta unit is a replica of that person. Yeah, it's an answer, right. But it forms and morphs into the person that it's supposed to like replicate.
Right, so no one knows that Alex is missing.
Right.
They know that for some reason he's acting strange.
Right. Yeah, and Maggie is like, he's weird. Something wrong with Alex. And so at the frontier where the starfighters are, Alex is thrust upon this kind of recruitment situation where, you know, they kind of just throw him a uniform, kind of just take him somewhere, shuffle him off. And, you know, and he's trying to like find Centauri, right? Like Centauri, like what's happening?
Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, this is definitely slightly inspired by Star Wars, A New Hope. We have the like little country boy that all of a sudden's in this room with all of these starfighters who have experience. The difference is that he's like, I don't belong here. Take me home. Whereas in New Hope, Skywalker is like, yes, I used to shoot rabbits or whatever from my blah, 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 blah.
Romp, whack. What, romp, rats? Yeah, you're right. So it's like a shift of. So, like, Alex didn't really grasp his hero journey yet because he's like, oh, crap. I need to go home. Like that scared him. Like, get me out of here.
But he finds Centauri and Centauri is like, fine, I'll take you home. And when he gets home, he meets his beta unit. He's a little confused about that. But meanwhile, the bad guys, what are the bad guys called?
Damn it, I watched this movie.
I mean, I watched it twice yesterday and I still can't remember the bad guys. Anyways, the bad guys have found out that there's a starfighter on US. So they have sent a death squad to go take out the starfighter because at the same time, they have sent ships to destroy all the other starfighters. So the bad guys are on Earth. Alex encounters them and realizes that this is a much bigger situation and decides that he will go back and join the fighters, take down the bad guys.
Right. Little did he know, like the base is like all blown up and there's only one starship left, which is kind of a prototype. And Greg, his co-pilot, he's kind of like, you know what? Well, every time I see him, remember Enemy Mine?
Yes, 100%.
I always get those two creatures mixed up because they kind of look like each other a little bit.
It's like they use the same cast. They just added some extra scales on the Enemy Mine character.
Yeah, I'm like, man, are they from the same species? It could be a last Starfighter Enemy Mine connection a little bit. That would be cool. And who was played by Dan O'Hurley?
Yeah.
Oh, so great. I mean, so good. He was so good. And I love the fact that even though he's like this alien, like he keeps his prestigious like British accent. yeah, that was really cool. And so, you know, Greg is, you know, showing him like where things are in his HUD, his heads up display and his cockpit. And I was like, oh, yeah, just like I noticed like that. Yeah, like it's like back home. Like
it's just like the video game.
Yeah, exactly. And all 80s movies, well, most 80s movies. And what I love that they have done, that I always get a giggle out of every time I see a scene like this in movies, always like that what this button do scene.
Yes.
Like, oh, what is this? It's like, no, don't touch it. It haven't been tested. Yeah, like you don't turn. One of the best names for a feature in a battle, whatever, vessel, ship, whatever, Death Blossom. Yes, I'm like, that is an awesome day. Like, what? Like, why do I want to pick up on that? That's like, that should be like code names, like Operation Death Blossom. Yeah, and so they go to, you know, they go out to the frontier. Meanwhile, the beta unit Alex on Earth is like really trying to figure out the man-woman dynamic because like he keep like doing stupid stuff to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make Maggie either like hit him or push him away or so like that. And like beta Alex is like, I don't understand what's going on. and so beta Alex fess up. It's like, okay, I'm not Alex. And around this time, one of the Codan Armada like headhunters that's sent to Earth, just like this crazy, ugly little creature thingy, like overhears him saying he's not Alex. And so the headhunter shoots beta Alex kind of in like the stomach, whatever. And then Maggie freaks out when she sees that his innards are like all wires and stuff like that. And so beta unit Alex is like, I got to go stop him because he's going to signal to the Armada that the last starfighter isn't dead. Which is going to blow the element of surprise for the real Alex that's up there. That's going to sneak attack him. So you got these two kind of, you know, missions going on, whatever. And so, you know, the real Alex and Greg, whatever his name is, you know, they do the sneak attack. And then, you know, we have our third act kind of ship battle. It's like one ship against our Armada. And we finally see Death Blossom. Which is amazing. Which pretty much make the ship kind of spin around in like a 360 and just kind of shoot missiles and lasers everywhere.
Just like you would see in a video game.
Yes. Now, this was around the time when like, was this, I think this is after Tron?
Well, let's see what the internet say. It feels like it should be.
Yeah, because, I mean, you had kind of like these movies like Tron, The Last Starfighter.
Tron was 82.
Right. So they, you know, built on what Tron did as far as the special effects and, you know, things like that. It was like ahead of its time at the time. And, you know, you could tell with the two movies. It's like, oh, look, isn't that cute what they did back in the early 80s with computer, like CG, the early state in its infancy.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I first came Star Trek, then Star Wars, and the addition of video games and all of that fun was just starting to come into combination in movies.
Yeah. And I think what make this movie and the old Tron, you know, work is it all boils down to the story. If the story keeps you engaged, you know, when you get these special effects scenes, you know, it's like, oh, you with it. Like, you just go with it, because the story's fun and you like the characters and things like that. And Last Starfighter is definitely a testament to, you can look at the special effects. I mean, they were cool for the time. Of course, they're super outdated. But the story itself keeps you in the movie. I mean, you like Alex. You want him to succeed. He's our Luke Skywalker. We buy that. And we love the people around him. We like Centauri. We love Grig. Like, it's just, the acting and everything
else. And the beta unit actually makes it slightly different from all the other ones we see. So that gives it like a fun comedic type of spin to it that all the other movies don't necessarily have.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you guys don't know, well, I just do it anyway. Our rating goes as on the couch. Great, great film to watch. If you have a couple hours to kill, it's time well spent. Putting on your shoes, contemplate going outside is meh. It's not the worst, but you could do better. Putting your shoes on, not putting your shoes, going outside. Like, you already got your shoes on, now you're going outside. It's like, I would rather go out and brave Corona and or police brutality than stay here and watch this movie. So is this a 2-ass down or
are you? I mean, I watched it twice yesterday, so.
Okay. Yeah. And like you were saying, when you're raised on, you play Atari and Coleco and Nintendos and your Segas and all that stuff. It's just like that video game connection. And we're the generations where there were arcades. We would go drop quarters and play these games. So it's like it's a bigger connection because like we experience getting high scores on video games and being ecstatic and stuff like that. So. I mean,
right, there's lots of nostalgia there. So I had actually mentioned in our Tuesday's episode, The Last Jedi, that I liked Rogue One and Solo better than some of the other movies that came out. So there was some talk around this movie being redone, and they had some screenwriters all set up to work on a reboot of this. And even involving the original screenwriter, Matt Alsop. But they went and worked on Rogue One, A Star Wars Story instead.
Thank goodness. God, please don't touch this. Just leave it alone. It's a movie of its time. Like,
well, also in 2007, there was a musical done of this.
Nice.
In New York, on like off Broadway type of thing.
That would have been pretty funny. That would have been pretty funny. Yeah, no, leave it alone. It's a movie of its time. Like, you can't have a rebooted Alice Rogan going to a video game cabinet. They don't exist anymore. It's all unless he's on his iPhone and he downloaded an app and he's playing it on his phone.
But even then, with all the like cheats and secrets that you can find online, that the whole point of the video game being the test to find a starfighter was that no one could win. Only one person could win it. It wouldn't be like masses of people winning it. So with the new way video games and everyone sharing secrets and Easter eggs, it would be too easy to break the game and there'd be a lot of starfighters. So yeah, it doesn't work nowadays.
No, it doesn't work. No. Oh, and originally in this movie, it was going to take place in the suburbs, but the director, he said that would be too close to, Spielberg held down the suburbs, like with E.T., Poltergeist, it's like you don't enter the suburbs because Spielberg had the suburban adventure thing on lock. Richard Donner too, with Goonies, stuff like that, whatever. So that's why he chose to make it a trailer park community, which works really well. And I'm glad they did.
You don't need the suburbs. The trailer park was a nice twist to it.
Yeah. And it was almost like a, you know, like a Cinderella thing with Alex. It's like, oh, you know, Miss So-and-so need her antenna fixed. She can't watch the soaps. Yeah. Well, you know, Miss So-and-so, like her, you know, her sink went out. It's like he can't go to the ball, or he can't, you know, go hang out with his friends on the pickup truck because you have to do all these chores around the trailer park to help out, you know, his community of people.
Okay. I'm going to switch my mind on them being able to do a remake, because the remake doesn't have to take place today. It could be something that takes place in the 80s, sort of like with Bumblebee, that we go back in time and maybe there's a... 5 years later, Alex is retired and they're in a similar situation. So it's sort of like a sequel to it, but with a different character. So it's not a remake, it's a sequel, but we could try it. We could try it. Yusuf's face is saying no, guys. You can't see it, but his face is no.
No, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Yeah, it just ended so perfectly. It's like, hey, Maggie and Alex, they went to space. They finally got away from the trailer park. Like, cool. Let's leave it at that. You know, like, we're good. I mean, if you want to watch Star Battles, go, like, watch Star Wars or something like that, you know. Yeah, let them go to the frontier and just, we just know Alex and Maggie is protecting the frontier for us. And just leave it at that. Keeping it in our head. Yeah, now, and plus, if you go back, if you do a remake and it takes place in the 80s, it's like, well, I mean,
it's like, well, that's how you don't do a remake. You do a sequel that takes place 5 years after the last Starfighter. They have to rebuild all the their force of Starfighters, so how are they going to recruit more?
That's a good question. I don't know.
We need a sequel.
All right, well, write up the treatment and we get on that.
Okay. Deal.
Cool. All right, well, that's what we have. Last Starfighter. A great 80s throwback. Everyone needs to see. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it.
You can find it on Amazon right now, so.
Yeah, definitely.
For American viewers, you can find it on Amazon.
Yes. Cool. All right, guys. Well, until next week, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. Peace.